Welcome back to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the information station for baby boomer business owners. I've been talking with Marty Levy, and before the break, we were talking about stories, and he had a really great interview, I thought. Didn't you think so, Paul?
I liked so many of the things he said. It doesn't matter what the employee says. Oh, I'll be a self-employed person. No, the state decides that. And if you accept that sucker's bargain, they can come back anytime and change their mind and say, well, gee, you controlled my time and you controlled where I worked and everything. I guess I should have been getting breaks and everything like that.
Yeah, you might be in business for yourself, but you're not by yourself. That's the problem.
Exactly.
The government rules. I want to remind everyone to go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, and that's the place to go to listen to this interview. And while you're there, you'll find the Exit Coach Audible, my one-minute recorded audio tip of the day, as well as other tools and strategies you can put to work immediately to help grow and protect your business. And don't forget to click on the links to join more about our sponsors, Exit and Retirement Strategies, the Values Institute, and Olive Crest. Now I'd like to introduce our next guest, Tanya Gilreath. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you
okay,
did.
Good. Okay, Tanya is with LA Business Pros from Los Angeles. And Tanya has a lot of experience and some great thoughts and ideas. We've been talking on the telephone about how to help a business owner who wants to exit their business or wants to sell their business and what they need to do really to get started with all of that. Right? Well, welcome, Tanya. Welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
Thank you for having me.
What we like to do is start off with, tell us a little bit about your background, what brought you to where you are now, and then we'll learn more about your current status. Tell us about your background.
Okay, well, actually, I took the long route into business sales and acquisitions. My background is actually in technology, and I spent 25 years doing software analysis, design, and development, primarily for controllership applications, and going into businesses and looking at their operations and trying to figure out how to streamline so that they could do three times the amount of work with the same number of people. So used to looking at bottlenecks and work process, process flows and so forth.
If you don't have those systems and processes, it's hard to really transfer your business down the road.
That's
if it's
correct.
All in the owner's head. Is that what you see a lot of times with business owners? It's all in their head and it's a little dysfunctional?
Yes, particularly with the small businesses. A lot of times the owner is the primary focal point of the business. The owner hasn't necessarily been able to take a vacation and many years. And so the more that they can actually structure their business, put those procedures and processes in place so that the employees can actually run the business without them, they can leave the business for a month or 2 months or 3 months. That creates tremendous value in their business.
Oh, that's what most business owners want these days is just some time back, right?
Correct.
Do you talk to a lot of business owners who are saying, I've been doing this for 20, 30 years, I'm a little tired of it?
Yes, actually, we deal with business owners who are either restless, burned out, ready to retire, or a combination of all three.
Okay, well, I think Paul's got his hand up over there. So you started out in the tech world, and how did you get into the LA Business Pros, and how did that all start?
Back during 2000-2001, otherwise known as the tech wreck or the dot-bomb era,
yep.
Because that's the world that I lived in, that's where all my investments were. And around the time that I saw my portfolio tank, I decided to get interested in real property and started looking at real estate investing and so forth. Ended up getting licensed, got my real estate broker's license. I was working for some investors in 2004 and 5, looking for properties for them to fix and flip. But really, real estate was just not interesting to me. I've mm-hmm. always enjoyed business. I've always really liked it. And in March of 2006 or so, I got a phone call from a company in Nevada that was selling franchises, really, and they asked me, have you ever considered selling businesses? And up until that point, in probably 20 plus years of networking through Chamber of Commerce, Leeds Club, LATIP, BNI, all those networking organizations, I had never met a business broker. And I'm not really sure that I even knew they existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the mom-and-pop strip mall kind of things you think about, but there's a point where it gets into the big M&A world, but there's a lot of business owners, the smaller ones. What's the size range that you guys work with, by the way?
Well, we generally deal with transactions that are under $10 million.
Okay.
Most of them are under $5 million. But a lot of them are still very small. I mean, they might be, you know, $200,000. We're just closing on an accounting practice that was around change. So, you know, small businesses, we're happy to work with small businesses as long as they have reasonable books and records.
Again, back to processes and systems, right? And
yes.
What's your experience with how people approach you and how far in advance do they look?
Most of the time when somebody calls us, they are ready to sell the business. They have already mentally checked out, sometimes 2 years prior or mm-hmm. longer. And it's an interesting dilemma because when they're not really mentally present in the business, there are a lot of things that are not being done. For instance, a lot of marketing that ends up, you know, they forego doing any marketing. They just kind of systematically cut it off. And the sales, the revenues, if they start declining, then obviously that devalues the business. So that is a big concern.
And that's not a healthy situation for a business owner to sell.
Some of the numbers are not necessarily declining. They're just kind of stable, but not really growing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of potential for growth. There are a lot of things that could be done if business owner will get engaged in the business again up until the point of the sale.
What's happening overall in the business sale industry right now? Are a lot of businesses positioning for sale? Or
business is actually picking up quite a bit. There were a lot of business owners that wanted to sell back in 2009, 2010. They wanted to retire. Unfortunately, because of the economic meltdown, they weren't able to do so. And just like property values fell, the multiples on business transactions also fell. In addition to that, their numbers were declining because of the recession. So they kind of got a double whammy, if you will, and now the numbers are back up, things have stabilized, the business is growing a little bit, and the multiples also are increasing slightly. So now we're seeing a lot more business owners that are saying, okay, let's do this. I wanted to retire 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
Now let's just get it done.
Pent-up demand, and the problem is when there's no E in your EBITDA, there's no earnings, it doesn't matter what the multiple is, right?
Exactly.
So you're kind of stuck. So a lot of them are starting to see that. That maybe they're not quite ready, but it's time to get ready, right? Is that what
yes.
you're seeing?
Some of them are ready, and some of them are saying, you know what, I'm just done. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm just burned out. I'm done. Get what you can for it, and just put me on the market and get me out of this business. First step, actually, is to meet with them and see if we want to do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we do a business valuation, and probably much like you do, we're going to ask them for their last 3 years of tax returns, P&Ls, balance sheets. If it's manufacturing, we want to know what their backlog of orders are. So there are a lot of factors that go into that valuation, and then we'll talk to them again and say, based on the data you've provided, this is what we believe we can put the business on the market for to get it sold. Now, if I tell them it's worth $1.2 million and they say, oh no, I have to have $5 million to retire, then I just say, okay, fine. Well, right now you're at $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like if you know you want to be in Disney World, that's great.
Right.
You need to know if you're starting from Minnesota or Texas because it's two different routes.
Okay. I'll take that analogy. And when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about some stories. And you told me about a very interesting guarantee that you make to business owners when you start to work with them. So I want to hear more about that when we come back after this break.
Are you a business owner that is restless, burned out, or simply ready to retire? Are you trying to figure out how to get and keep more from the sale of your company? Discover how you can easily increase the value of your business. Sell your business for a higher price, pay the lowest amount of taxes, and put more money in your pocket at closing. To get this valuable information, go to getandkeepmore.com. That's getandkeepmore.com and request your free white paper today. At LA Business Pros, we help you get and keep more guaranteed.
Welcome back to the ExaCoach Radio Show. I'm talking with Tanya Gilreath of LA Business Pros. And I've been talking with Tanya, and before the break, she said we'd talk about some success stories and tips and ideas. So let's start with some stories. Can you give our listeners a good example of one or two of your client scenarios, what they needed, and when they started working with you, and how you helped them?
My favorite is it's a manufacturing company. It was manufacturing for aerospace. And the gentleman wanted to retire. He had previously attempted to sell the business, and he really did not trust business brokers. He had apparently a bad experience prior to working with us. And so the first time I met with him, it was a very good meeting, I thought. And I gained a lot of insight into his business. But like I said, our second step is to do the business valuation. Well, he didn't want to provide any of his tax returns. And what he said was, well, I gave all this documentation to this other guy and he disappeared off the face of the earth and never got back to me. I said, okay, well, give me what you're willing to. And so what he gave me to start off with was a one-page summary sheet of the federal tax returns, you know, whatever the current year was and the prior year, the generals. But you didn't have any of the that other deduction category where everything's summarized. You didn't have any of the breakdown of that. But nonetheless, and the other thing he told me is he said, you know, Tanya, I don't care what your valuation comes up with. I want $2.5 million for my business. I said, okay, well, you know, let me do a valuation anyways, because I don't want to take you on unless I think I can get that. So I did the business valuation. As I continued talking to him, little by little, he gave me another sheet and another sheet, and ultimately I ended up with all the tax returns and everything that I needed. I went back to him after I did the valuation. I said, you know, I think we can get a lot more than $2.5 million. We ended up selling the business for almost $3.5 million, and I guarantee that extra close to $1 million more than covered our fee.
That's good.
So that's one of my favorites, because it was so reverse of, you know, a lot of times, like you said, business owners do think their business is worth more than it is. In this case, he undervalued or understated the value of his business.
What was he overlooking in that? What did you find that he only thought it was worth $2.5 million? And
he just picked a number that he thought would convenient.
The owner's estimate.
Yeah.
The old owner's estimate. Okay.
This is what I think it should be. You know, throw a dart at the wall and there you go.
Okay.
So that's one. And then another one actually was an accounting practice, and it was very complex. It was a sad situation in that the CPA had passed away, and his wife, the practice was kind of in a trust, I guess, for his wife. She wasn't a CPA, and there were employees and all that, and it had happened during tax season, and we needed to get they had come to me during the summer, actually, so about, you know, 6 months later, and we needed to get the practice sold before the next tax season, because once you get into tax season, everything, you know, all the CPAs go crazy.
Paper everywhere.
Yeah, and so what we did on that is I didn't want her to have to deal with one buyer after the next, going through the story of her husband and everything that had happened, because it was very emotional for her. So what I did is we had about 15 prospective buyers, and I had one conference call, a teleconference where everybody dialed in, and she was on the call, her attorney was on the call, and that way she only had to go through the story once.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And everybody maintained their kind of discretion and right?
Right, and everybody heard the same thing.
Yes.
And what happened was from 15, we got down to about 7 prospects. Of those 7, about 3 of them, 3 or 4 of them actually met with her and submitted offers.
And did that process, that controlled auction, basically is what it's called in the big M&A world, right?
Right.
It's kind of a controlled auction. Did that enhance the value? I mean, at the end of the day, do you think?
I believe it did, because one of the biggest, in small businesses, the transition is really critical, and particularly in a personal service business. You know, that transition, most buyers expect that business owner to stay on for anywhere from 30 days to 6 months to help transition the clients, transition those relationships. And when you have an owner who is deceased, that whole transition becomes much more complicated. And so I think, you know, I believe we ended up doing very well, and that controlled situation did increase the value for her.
Yeah, professional service firms are tough, because it's all about usually the professional that's doing the work, and a lot of them don't take time to find a successor or train somebody and turn it over or introduce that person at least to their clients. So
correct.
If it's like the Eagle song, already gone. If you're already gone, it's you're driving down the value of your business. So tell us about your company's process. You have a report called 7 Steps to More Money for the Sale of Your Business, and you have this interesting guarantee we talked about. What's it all about?
Well, basically, there are our process. We put together a systematic process where we could help business owners that want to increase the value of their business before putting it on the market, and it is a 12-month program. Now, understand that some business owners, like we said, are burned out, and they don't want to wait 12 months. They don't want to reengage. However, for those who do, we guarantee that we will be able to sell their business for at least 30% more than the initial valuation when we started. So when you think about that in terms of if a business is worth $2 million at the beginning, it means 12 months later, we guarantee we're going to be able to sell it for 2.6.
So by working with you and you coming in and saying you've got to fix this, put processes and systems in place, work on all these different areas, they're going to drive up the value of their business 30%, and you guys stand behind that.
We do stand behind that. And so what we do is that, let's say we're only, go back to that 2 million versus 2.6. Let's say we only sell that business for 2.5. Not only does the business owner derive the benefit of that extra $500,000 in sale or in revenue from the sales price, but in addition to that, we refund all the consulting fees that he paid during that 12-month period during that process. So it's absolutely risk-free to that business owner.
Well, that's a great deal for a business owner. They have to be willing, obviously, coachable and willing to work with you. And how often do you get together with them during those 12 months?
Basically, the way the program is set up is we're going to meet with them every 2 weeks. We're going to have conference calls with them every week. And so we really, you know, we do the initial valuation. We want to do a preliminary due diligence. Mm-hmm. The preliminary due diligence is going to identify a lot of the issues that and objectives that buyers are going to have. And so if we can address those up front and get a lot of those cleaned up, then that automatically increases the value. When a businesses sell on multiples of the earnings, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in an industry, let's say that the business has earnings of $1 million and is in an industry that's selling a 3 to 4 times multiple, that means that the business is worth $3 million or $4 million. But what dictates whether it's worth the $3 million or the $4 million? It's a pretty broad range.
Right.
And so by cleaning up and addressing some of the issues that we know detract from the value, that increases the odds and increases the probability that we can get the higher multiple for the business, in addition to which, obviously, we're going to have the business owner focus on increasing the overall revenue, which also will translate down to the bottom line.
Oh, that's great. Well, it makes total sense for a business owner to realize that right out of the gate, they're going to have to do some work on their business. And a lot of them have been putting that off because they're so busy growing the business, right? They're so busy working in it and growing it. And now they come to you and they say, look, I really want to do this. And you guys are saying, well, we'll help you, but you got to be coachable. You got to hang with us and do what we say, and we'll get you at least 30% more than what we think your value is today in a year from now if you stick with us.
That's correct. And when you think about it, the other thing is a lot of business owners we found over the years really don't do anything to prepare their business for sale.
Right.
If you're going to sell your car, you might have it detailed, but at the very least, you're going to have the kid next door get out the garden hose and hose it down, right?
Yeah, at the least.
Okay, at the very least.
Right.
But sometimes...
I always take my car by the car wash before I trade it in. You know, every time I've traded in a car, at least I've prettied it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But people don't do that with their business. They do it with their car, they do it with their house. They don't think about it with their business.
It's their biggest asset, and they just don't spend it. They don't treat it like the asset that it is sometimes when they look at it as a saleable value. So take heed from Tanya. Business owners, you really need to create some time and take a lot of time to get your business into a transferable state so that a business broker that comes in with you can do their job properly, right?
Correct.
And if you work with your group you have a website, tell me what your website is.
Getandkeepmore.com.
Getandkeepmore.com. And what will they find when they get there?
So if they go to getandkeepmore.com, that will take them basically to the homepage of our website, and they will have an offer for a free white paper that's 7 steps to more money for the sale of your business.
Okay.
It's about a 17, 18-page document, and the only reason that it's that many pages is because it's in 14-point type, so they can actually read it, because a lot of the people we deal with are, like I said, wanting to retire.
Well, it's been a delight. We've really enjoyed having you on the show, and before we leave, give us 3 quick tips for a business owner. What are the 3 things that come to the top of your head that a business owner should think about before they give you a call and while they're working on their business?
You know, really, they need to get their books in order. The books and records have to be in order, and they need to be consistent. It's really important. And be honest. You know, the next thing is just be honest. Be honest with the broker. If there are issues, tell them what they are so they can be addressed up front. Because the last thing you want is to get into the middle of a transaction and then have things come up that derail it. So the books and records and HR issues, you know, human capital is really important. But I mean, the state has been revenuing because of the recession and all that, you know, Don't pay people on 1099s if they're not 1099s. Don't pay people cash check, you know, half cash, half check. I mean, those are issues. If you have undocumented workers, your buyers are not willing to take those risks right now. The penalties are too stiff, and it's just not happening.
Great tips. Tanya, it's been a real delight having you in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in. I've been talking with Tanya Gilreath of LA Business Pros. I'd like to thank our station engineer, Paul Roberts, who's done his usual outstanding job at the board. I'd like to thank our show coordinator, Julie Tabazon, who keeps me on task, handles all the details of running the show. We'll be back again live next Wednesday, but we're going to expand to 2 hours starting next week from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. with more top professionals. So join us, tell your friends, so in turn we can help you, our hero, the baby boomer business owner, with tips, ideas, and precautions so you are well planned.
You've been listening to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners. Join us live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on octalkradio.net. And don't forget to listen to The Audible, our daily one-minute tip of the day on exitcoachradio.com. The Exit Coach Radio Show is brought to you by Exit and Retirement Strategies. We'll help you find your exit. For Exit Coach Radio, I'm Spike Reel, saying so long for now. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Exit and Retirement Strategies Incorporated and J.W. Cole Financial are not affiliated. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of J.W. Cole Financial or J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated.